This episode of the Agency Spark podcast is brought to you by Unstack, a no-code marketing platform and ecosystem. Start building a site today for free by visiting unstack.com/sparkpod. More on Unstack later in the show. Welcome to the Agency Spark podcast. This is your host, Sarah Ney, and today on the show, I have Paul Benageri, founder of Archive. So welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks, Sarah. Really excited to chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start with your background a bit before launching Archive. So what led you to launch an AI software startup?
Good question. A little bit of a couple different phases. So I studied computer science at Stanford and got really into the technical side of things. After that, I spent a little bit of time in crypto back in 2014 before it was really cool and fun and exciting, and then went on to join a couple of friends that were starting a health e-commerce company, formerly known as NutriBox, that rebranded to HVMN, Health Via Modern Nutrition. I actually joined as an engineer, and so some of my first projects were to improve the site, build e-commerce features, and build a custom e-commerce platform. And over 4 or 5 years, we all got a ton of experience building a brand and thinking about all of the e-commerce challenges that are not engineering focused. We came into it thinking that we could solve this problem from an engineering perspective. And then we had to learn about marketing. We had to learn about product development and operations. And so that was a whole 5-year journey where on my side, I learned about Facebook ads. I learned about scaling influencer marketing and PR and thinking about building distribution channels so that people actually go to the website that I was building, that we were building, and order products. So that was super, super interesting. And 3 years in, we realized that we shouldn't be building our own platform. We should be using Shopify or using technology to solve those problems. And so we did a big migration and we got to see a couple of interesting sides of it. You got to see the side that was really customizable, that we could build ourselves and control everything, that was maybe a little bit slow to launch features and products. And we got to see the Shopify world, which was really awesome in a number of ways, but had its challenges. And through that experience, we just saw so many opportunities that we could tackle just seeing these problems from a growth perspective, from a retention perspective, from an analytics perspective. And it seemed like the right time, especially given that everyone is moving to e-commerce, to start solving some of these problems, not just for ourselves, but for the industry as a whole. We see Shopify as a really exciting platform, but there's a lot of things that aren't, I would say, sufficient with Shopify. If you're thinking about scaling your paid acquisition, you need some extra reporting tools. You need to set up ad channels. If you're doing influencer marketing, there's no out-of-the-box solution in Shopify that helps you do that really easily. And so through that experience, we found some really exciting opportunities to leverage technology and some of our problems to try to solve them. And that's really where Archive came in. We mainly started with influencer marketing. So one of the issues with influencer marketing is that if you want to do a lot of it, either you pay big money for one celebrity or you work with a lot of influencers. And that becomes a limiting reagent. The amount of time that you have to work with influencers becomes a bottleneck. You either have to hire people, or in our case, we built some technology to automate and streamline that. And a lot of our friends in the space were like, hey, we're really excited to use this technology. And we got our first customers really early on through that, through our relationships and our friends, and started building that software. And then from there, we continued to innovate, continued to build a ton of features, continued to improve our technology. And now we're in a really healthy spot where we have a platform that's us run large influencer marketing campaigns and programs. And really, we think of them as communities for consumer brands like Four Sigmatic, like Pros, and other really cool companies.
That's great. Thank you for giving me that background. It's really helpful to see where what led you to where you're at today. And so let's start with the influencer side of things, because I believe the app does more. There's more to it, Archive, than just the influencer side of things. But I do want to start there. And so that's honestly, I'll admit, one area of marketing that I haven't dabbled into much. And so what are industries that you think are best fit for influencer marketing to start with?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would come back at that question with, it depends on the channel, right? So if you asked what industries are great on Instagram, I would tell you products that people are just excited to experience and try visually. Could be a food that you're describing or a physical product. HVMN has some delicious powders and food bars. It could be clothing or jewelry or glasses. If it's a B2B service, maybe a software tool, then Instagram might not be a great platform, but maybe LinkedIn is. And I would argue that podcasts can also potentially be considered influencers, and there's bloggers that talk about software and e-commerce tools. And so I think every industry can potentially benefit from influencer marketing, but you have to pick your channel. YouTube's great for some stuff. TikTok's great for some other stuff. Maybe LinkedIn if you're more on the B2B side, and it really depends.
Yeah, that's a great point. In order of thinking about channels, that's what we do in a lot of our marketing. It's, you don't need to be on every single channel. You need to be on the channel that's relevant to your audience and who you're trying to reach. So I think that's a great point. One of the things that you outline on your website when you're focusing on influencer marketing is you onboard, source, outreach, and analyze as your process. So can you talk me through that process a bit?
Yeah, so our approach to influencer marketing is different to what you'd expect. When you think about influencer marketing, you think of maybe a few influencers that maybe have a million followers, and you think of paying them, doing a sponsored post. So you pay the influencer and they post and you do a campaign. Maybe you have a launch, you pay an influencer, get them to post, and boom, that's it. What we've seen work really well for, especially for consumer brands and especially on Instagram, is to think of it as building a community. What is that? What is a community? Is a group of relationships with brands and influencers and in between. And so what we like to do is build communities for brands. First of all, there's a whole onboarding phase, right? You're an agency, you need to understand like what your customers, or we call them partners, want. What kind of, do they care about performance and sales? Do they care about content? What are their demographics? Obviously, we need to understand that and any kind of key marketing timelines and things like that. Then we talk about sourcing, right? So who are the influencer? Which influencer should we reach out to? For that, we have a combination of algorithms and data. So we have over 100 million influencers in our database. And we have a few different algorithms that help us find great influencers. But we also have a team that reviews every influencer that we potentially work with to make sure they're a good fit. Based on the parameters, we ask our partners about in onboarding. And then from there, we start reaching out to influencers. Typically, when brands are doing influencer marketing on Instagram, they might start with IG DMs, Instagram DMs. If you're trying to scale communities, and that's what we try to do for brands, we try to take brands from 100 influencers per month to maybe 1,000 or 2,000, DMs can get really hard. You might get blocked by Instagram because you just can't send that many DMs. You can't keep track of conversations, and maybe there's a customer support team in there too, and people go crazy. So we do all of our outreach through email. We reach out to influencers, offer them to try the product and build the relationship. And then from there, we start activating them in different ways. Typically, we focus on gifting relationships. So we'll gift an influencer, and in exchange, they're not forced to do something, but they like to reciprocate. They're excited to try the product. It tastes really good. It looks really good on them. Boom, they'll do a feed post or a couple of stories. And that starts the relationship. Then every month, we think of the community in three segments. First of all, we always have the segment of new influencers. We're always trying to grow the community, bring in fresh blood. So we'll find new influencers and have them try the product. Then we have what we call our warm influencers. So these are influencers that we've previously gifted. They've tried the product, they've posted, they have really great engagement. If we care about sales, they're driving sales. And then we have this churned group, which obviously is sad to see, but maybe these are influencers that are not posting anymore or didn't like the product or just ghosted us. That happens. And so over time, we work to grow this segment of warm influencers so that we have this really healthy community of influencers that brands can leverage for all different things. When you work with us for, say, 6 months or 12 months, you have a huge community of warm influencers. And so when you're launching a new product, you don't have to think, okay, which influencers do I have to hit up? I have to go find like 200 new influencers and tell them about the company and then hopefully have them post. You have these people that are ready to go that can support you with content, with ads, with posts, all that stuff. And so taking a community approach, we found, is much more sustainable and much more long-term. And it's also better for influencers, right? Because they're real people. They like meeting people from companies. They like trying products. And they don't want to get this random push notification from a platform or this like robotic email. They like talking to someone at the company. And we really try to infuse some of those principles into all of our conversations as we scale the community. And I think the reason why we're able to do a good job is on one side because we've done influencer marketing for a long time and we get how it works, but really because we have a lot of software that helps us remember what's going on, track performance, see whether males are performing, females, moms, whatever, and really focus the community over time on the segments that are performing well. Interestingly, sometimes your brand might think that maybe girls that are into fitness might perform really well, but actually that's super, super saturated. So if you branch out and do something a little bit less obviously relevant, that could perform better. And you want to test that and learn and focus on that performance.
And so if someone's considering influencer marketing for the first time, and maybe they're just comparing it to other channels or other opportunities, how do you help them determine if influencer marketing even makes sense for them or not?
Good question. It's one of the ways you can do it is, I would say before you test it, try to see what your competitors are doing. If that might not be the perfect way to decide, but if you see that some of your competitors are crushing with influencers and doing a lot of it, that's a great indication that you should try it. You can also see what platforms your competitors are on. If all of your competitors are doing stuff on TikTok, but not Instagram or on YouTube, that's a good indication to test that channel. But really, typically, when we bring on brands for our Archive Communities product, they've already tested influencer marketing, and they're at a point where they're thinking, okay, cool, we did 50 this month or 100 this month, and it was a lot of work. We want to do 100 every month or 500 every month, but we don't really want to hire someone full-time or a couple of people full-time to manage those relationships. And we're also just like losing track of all the data. But again, it really comes down to testing. And it also, before you run those tests, you have to understand like what you care about. Why are you doing influencer marketing? Are you doing it to drive sales? And maybe you consider a little bit more of an affiliate model, and you're tracking coupon codes and you're tracking links to make sure that these influencers are driving conversions. Or are you taking a more holistic approach? Maybe you want to drive brand awareness, get a bunch of great content for your Facebook ads, for your emails. If you don't know what you want and you don't think about what you want before you run that test, it's going to be really hard to justify and decide whether that experiment or that channel test worked for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And this one might be a little bit hard to answer because it might be it depends. But do you have any recommendations around budget if someone's just getting started with influencer marketing?
Yeah.
Does it depend on their end goal?
Easy question. If you have a couple of hours and you have a product you can gift or let people try out, you don't need to spend anything. You can give it to influencers. If they're excited, if it's relevant and they're excited about it, then a lot of them will be happy to try it. Sure, it might not be as efficient as giving people, in terms of your time, a bunch of money for it and moving that quickly. But if you're testing the channel, you can do it for free. A lot of brands start off with 1,000 units of product in inventory, and they need to generate demand. And so if you take 10% of that, give them to influencers, DM them, build a relationship, have them try it. You'll get some stories, you'll get some feed posts, and then you can do giveaways with those influencers. They can gift some product to their audience, and then you'll build a little bit of a social following. You can do whitelisting, which is when you do a partnership with the influencer and use their account to run ads, and that might perform better than your brand's Facebook account. You can turn them into affiliates, right? So there's no budget needed if you have time. It always is a trade-off. If you want to save a lot of time, then you might want to hire an agency and deploy capital to save time because you don't want to hire someone or you don't have time for yourself.
And now a word from our sponsor, Unstack. Stop waiting on developers and leveraging multiple tools to manage your marketing stack. With Unstack, you get a no-code website builder, landing page builder, A/B testing, forms, analytics, contact insights, payments, membership, blog, and so much more, all in one platform. Start building a site today for free by visiting unstack.com/sparkpod and receive 20% off for 6 months when you sign up. And let's get into the brand awareness side of things a little bit, because I believe that's what your app probably helps the most with, if I had to guess from what I know so far. But I read on your website again that the app helps people archive their brands, Instagram stories, and feed posts automatically. So can you tell me a bit more about that side of things?
Yeah. So we have Archive Community, which is what we were talking about, where we build and grow nano influencer communities. And then we have Archive App. So if you've got anyone posting on Instagram, maybe customers or influencers, a lot of them will be posting stories, great content, really rich, can perform great on ads, whether it's an unboxing or a story about the product. If you ask brands how they're saving that content, we see a couple things. Brands either won't save it and maybe just check periodically on Instagram, or maybe they'll take screenshots by themselves. Or if the brand's a little bit more later stage, they'll hire 3 interns to save that content manually and put it in a Dropbox. We ran into that problem when we were running these communities of thousands of influencers. And so we built software to automatically save and label stories. And so we now have a Shopify app that lets any brand download the app, connect their Instagram, and that's it. All your stories, all your feed posts are automatically saved. And they're in this really nice UI that you can scroll through in Shopify. And the cool thing is that content is super valuable. And if you just let the app run for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, all of your content will be there. And that content is great. You can use it for Facebook ads. You can use it for email. UGC performs really well these days. And you get, sometimes if you've got tens or hundreds of customers posting, that's so much content that you can test on Facebook, test on SMS, test on these different platforms. And so we really try to streamline the collection process and just completely take out the manual work there.
Yeah. And that's going to be my next question that you got into a little bit there is, how do you find this content performs? Because you mentioned on your website as well that it creates authentic ads using valuable human-to-human content. And so how do you feel like this generated content performs versus more traditional ad that the company would put out?
So this depends, and it's something to test, but we frequently see UGC outperforming branded shoots. For HVMN, for example, all of our winning ads were UGC. And it's funny because we used to play, we call it like UGC Lotto, where me and my friend Mike Lee, a designer at HVMN, we'd bet on which UGC ads would perform well, and we would both always lose. We would never guess correctly. It's really hard to predict what ads are going to perform. What's important is that you test a lot and you iterate quickly. And testing a lot means not only testing a lot of assets, but a lot of different types of things. And so if you are creating your own content, that can be expensive, it can be slow, and you're also limiting yourself to your own, you know, creative ideas. If you don't have a really good creative exploration, you might just always be testing the same area of ideas. Whereas if you let influencers talk about your product, they're going to be super creative. You don't know what they're going to come up with. You're going to be really surprised. The other thing is that we see that UGC just performs really well natively on Instagram and on the feed. Why? People are scrolling through not to see brand posts on Facebook, but to see their friends' content. And so if you've got a Paul or Sarah talking about cool headphones they got, it's going to feel believable, relatable. It might capture your attention a little bit more than a flashy, splashy branded shoot. We don't say don't do branded shoots, but definitely try UGC, because for a lot of brands, it crushes, especially when you potentially combine a couple of them. You can always like splice and edit the video a little bit and trim it, add a bumper at the end, a call to action, and that can really crush.
Yeah, that reminds me, a lot of what we talk about in our marketing is interviewing your ideal clients, sending surveys to your best clients, like learning about their experience, learning about how they talk about your brand in their own words. And to me, this is your app doing that in an automated way.
Yeah, that's super important, right? It's what's the copywriting process? You read a bunch of reviews, you do some interviews, you save that, and then you write an ad. It does that process automatically because you've got a real customer that's talking in an authentic way, and they're already speaking in the customer voice because they are the customer. And I think the interesting thing is that you can generate hundreds of assets a month, right? And that's, imagine doing 100 assets of a brand shoot. That could cost $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. And we've had times where, almost like depressingly so, we'll run our super beautiful like branded shoots that we're happy we did because we distributed them and it had some great brand awareness. But when we test that from a performance perspective, a lot of times the UGC would destroy it. And we're just like banging our heads against the wall because, wow, why does this beautiful, inspiring video that's like bringing tears to people and it's emotional and great just not performing compared to this random Instagrammer holding the bottle? You know, it's crazy.
It just comes back to, as you've said a number of times, like testing is key. So yeah, Putting different options, putting different styles out there and testing to see, because in what your mind, what might work, you got to listen to the people and what's actually converting and what's actually working out there.
And especially for smaller brands, just launching something is better than nothing. Do you have time to do a brand shoot for Mother's Day? Maybe, maybe not. What about Father's Day? What about all the holidays in between? There's Earth Day, there's this day, there's that day. But if you get UGC, and you can launch it, it's there, it's available, and you can just launch in a couple clicks. If you're able to decrease the iteration time for marketers to launch campaigns, you can launch more campaigns, you can be more relevant. You can be just like those other brands that launched COVID ads in a week and really got great value from this whole stay-at-home messaging. So again, if you're able to, even if you're doing branded shoots, sometimes the UGC can just be a quick and dirty way to get the campaign going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in the small business space that is where I work, it's all about saving time and being more efficient. And that's a lot of what you're talking about, which is so important. Well, thanks, Paul. I learned a lot. As I mentioned, I'm not as familiar in the influencer space, so I really appreciate you being on the show and sharing some insight. If anyone listening wants to connect with you online, where can they find you?
So check out archive.ai, our website. You can learn more about the products. Feel free to submit the form or email us. I still answer all requests personally. So if you have some questions about starting your campaign or thinking about our products, just shoot me a note, I'll respond. And you can also find me on Twitter. It's @BennyJerry, my last name, BENIGERI. Again, feel free to DM me, message me, ask any questions. Really happy to help out.
Awesome. Thanks, Paul. And thank you all for listening to Agency Spark Podcast. We'll see you next time.